Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whenever you're listening, wherever you're listening. Welcome back to another episode of the Students Era Podcast. Today I'm joined by possibly the one guest I never assumed that I'd be doing an episode with. Unfortunately, to the unhappiness of myself and my boss, he is officially here.
Hi guys, my name is Rakshit.
I'm joking. So I'm joined by, like he said, his name is Rakshit. Thank you for coming on. So Rakshit, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
So I'm currently studying in Middlesex University with Tanura. I'm a second year student, going to third year now, studying advertising, PR and branding. So I'll be very careful with my words since I'm studying PR. So yeah.
Yeah, please.
I am into photography. I still consider myself an amateur, but some people say I'm pretty good at it. So.
Well, we'll find out. Firstly, so Rakshit, I want to ask you, so obviously we like to talk about being in university, doing university life. You haven't lived in the UAE for that long, right? If I'm not mistaken, you just, not recently, but like just 1 or 2 years ago, right?
Yeah, I will be completing 2 years in August this year. Yeah, July this year.
So where did you live before? Was it back home? I'm assuming you're from India.
I am from India.
So was it back home in India or where did you live before?
Before UAE, I lived in Muscat, Oman for 2 years, and before that I lived in India.
All right, so you've stayed in a few countries so far.
Yeah, three.
But it's still most than some other people.
Yeah.
So living in India, then moving to the Middle East, even though it was mostly during your high school phase, what is the major difference between being a student in India and being a student in the Middle East?
I would say one of the main differences is that there are a lot more students here. I don't know why, even though I'm from India, there are more students here.
Isn't India like a billion people though?
Exactly, but I feel like, I think it's just the schools I went to in India, because the school I went to India, I had like 15 students in my class. And then as soon as I transferred to Oman, I suddenly had like 40 students in my class and like 11 sections.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah, that's fair.
9,000 kids in total in school, so that was a big change for me. But other than that, there's not many differences. Maybe it's just because I adapt really quickly, that's what I think. Because it wasn't very difficult for me to adapt in Oman. So, and because of that, I don't think it was difficult for me to adapt in Dubai, because the scene is pretty much the same in Dubai.
Yeah, it's more or less similar, just a few minor differences.
Exactly.
So obviously now, being a university student, about to enter your final year of university. Yeah, it's all right. About to enter your final year of university. I'm pretty sure you can agree that high school and university life are the two polar opposites of life.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Obviously, you have way too much freedom from it, which I'm not complaining, obviously, which is absolutely fine. Other than that, you get your driving license by the time you're in university, so you're free to go. Sometimes it's
fair. That's true.
Like 3 a.m. And I'm not even doing anything, you know. I'm not into clubbing, by the way. Like, not into clubbing, partying that much.
We don't promote late sleeping on school nights, though. I guess, but no. Fair. That is a fair point.
Yeah, but so many times I come home at like 3 a.m., 4 a.m. Sometimes.
Fair.
Sometimes I don't come home at all.
Wait, where are you then?
I'm just like sleeping over at my friend's house or something.
Yeah, fair enough. You got the car. You can do it.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, so. Being a university student, like you said, the freedom is heavy about that. So I know you have basically been working. That's not been working. I've been unfortunate to suffer your presence.
Mm-hmm.
I'm kidding. I've been with you for the last 2 years at Middlesex.
Yeah.
We've been connected through, obviously, one of the main clubs, which is the events club.
Right.
And obviously, with the freedom comes also a major response. Do you feel like the freedom of being a university student comes with a major responsibility as well towards yourself?
I wouldn't say work life, but like my responsible life and my social life.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, as you said, we met through events club, and I'm very proud that I was part of the events club in the past 2 years, hopefully in the third year too, but I take it very seriously.
Mm-hmm.
As much as I mess around, I take it very seriously.
Understatement.
I met my best friends through events club, like Mihir. I know, I'm sure you've heard of him.
Oh, it doesn't ring a bell.
So I take it very seriously. Expect like volunteering, whether it be anything. Like, fun fact: I was the only true freshman in the beginning as part of the core team.
Exactly. So that's one thing about obviously maintaining that division between your responsible life and your social life. But I want to talk a little bit more about something that defines you in terms of not only for your social life, but also your responsible life, which is your photography. Mm-hmm. So for everyone listening, Rakshit is, he likes to consider himself as an amateur photographer. I'd say otherwise, because if you guys see his work, it is pretty good.
Thank you.
So I don't think you were expecting that statement, were you?
Not from you.
So what I want to ask is, how did you get into photography? Was it during school or was it just something you just came across?
I was like in seventh grade, I believe, sixth or seventh grade. I was just messing around with my phone. I took a picture of a plant. And
it what plant?
It was just a normal plant. Yeah, I think it was a berry plant or something. And the way the leaves and the flowers were in the picture, like they were in focus and everything outside was like blurry. It's called bokeh effect. So, and I was like, I was very fascinated by it. I was like, how is that possible? You know, like, why is this thing in focus and everything else is like out of focus? So I started searching it up on YouTube, and I'm self-taught, like 100%. I didn't take class or anything. So YouTube was my teacher, especially Peter McKinnon. I don't know if you know about him or not.
I'm not that much into photography,
he's
but
he's a Canadian photographer, and I consider him like God. I'm agnostic, by the way. So yeah, I think he is the one who got me majorly into photography, because I love the way, like, I loved his lifestyle with photography and everything. And I saw him and I was like, I want to live a life like that one day. So yeah, I saw a few videos about basics of photography, like ISO, shutter speed, aperture and everything like that, which also taught me about, like,
you went full into it. That
I
means.
did. it's just a personal belief, but I feel like if you shoot on auto as a photographer, you're not a real photographer. You need to shoot on manual. So yeah, that's what I learned from YouTube.
Fair enough. I mean, I didn't, I'll be very frank. Maybe some of the people that are into photography would understand everything. I didn't understand Jack, but hey, it sounds like you know your stuff.
Yeah.
So how is having photography in you helped you transition or adapt with any aspect of your life? Because photography is quite a useful skill.
Well, I'd say photography made me fall in love with traveling. Because I saw a lot of, like I said, Peter McKinnon and other YouTubers, mm-hmm. and they used to travel a lot just to take pictures, you know?
Yeah.
So I was like, because of that, I wanted to travel a lot. So that's what got me into traveling. Fun fact, I went to Georgia this year and Italy, just came back 15 days back. And I'm traveling to Kazakhstan in like a week, a week and a half. So yeah.
I heard that camel is a very distinct food in Kazakhstan. I think you should try that out while you're there.
I love camel, by the way. I tried it for the first time in Expo.
Oh, you actually ate camel. Fair play.
Camel meat. It's so soft and like very...
What's it taste like? Is it like similar to like bacon or...
No, it's nothing like bacon. It's very soft and then it's like kind of sweetish.
So, yeah. That's going to be different from meat. Fair. I should try some. I don't know why that even came up, but sure. So, all right. So traveling is, well, that's fair enough. I remember you went for the Georgia and the Italy trips,
yes.
Seen some of your shots as well. And now that comes to obviously university, mm-hmm. photography and university. So in your opinion, do you feel like photography has helped you in a way?
In university?
Yeah, has it been?
So I'll tell you what, so there is no course in university for photography,
sure.
Yeah? So I chose the next best course, that's filmmaking. Yeah, I started as a film student, by the way. I was supposed to go to London. I got into King's College for film studies, but COVID happened and we had just moved to Dubai, and my mom was like, there are good colleges in Dubai, so why not try here? So I joined the film course at Middlesex. And you know when you want something for a very long time and then you finally get it, but you're not satisfied with it?
Yep.
That's something, like some kind of...
That's what the film course felt like for you.
Felt like for me. So then I switched. I wanted to stay in media, I knew it. So I switched to advertising, PR and branding. But I also kept like photography as my side hobby. It was still my passion. I tried to keep polishing my skills. And yeah, so that's what I kept. But recently, I wouldn't say photography is linked to my uni life at all, to be honest.
So it's completely adjacent, like it's a completely
different
through point.
Yeah.
All right then. I mean, I guess in a way as well, there is always something good to keep outside from the university life, something that you can just fall back onto.
Exactly. So you don't, you know, like rely always on university
mm-hmm.
for doing something. So.
So yeah, that's another thing I want to ask you, because a lot of people, when they, obviously the one key feature about universities are that they try to cater to everything.
Mm-hmm.
And then sometimes when you just want that one thing that is just for you,
mm-hmm.
And then there's an activity in university for you. Sometimes end up leaping towards it, right?
Yeah, so that's photography. That's active. Like the photography is that activity for me. That's something out of university, just for my own self.
So also, I want to ask is, what do you think is the importance of making sure that there is something you can fall back to that is not in any way connected to any other part of your life? It's just something completely adjacent.
Well, you know, at some point of time, you want to be left alone. It's not that you're fed up with people. It's just human nature, I feel like. Like, you want to be left alone. You want to be in your zone doing something that you really, truly enjoy. So I feel like that's the importance of that thing that you can fall back into, other than your social life at university or school or work or something.
But I'm pretty sure sometimes, like, even while you're in uni, having that adjacent skill as specifically you sometimes does come in handy. I can remember a few times as well. Awards night.
Uni photographers, they catch me to take pictures. So yeah. I'm happy to do it because, like I said, I love helping out as much as I can.
So now that's another thing I want to just come back. I'm going to come back to the photography in a bit, but I want to talk a little bit about your responsible life. So just for everyone listening, here's a quick rundown of everything, to my knowledge, that Raksha has done in a work aspect situation. So core team of Events Club, which is basically that he's like the second in the hierarchy of bosses.
Bosses are like part of planning process.
Part of planning process, sure. Well, I called boss because you were my boss last year, man.
Anyway.
Yeah, so that's one. So you're a core team, which means you did help with a lot of the planning and events in the university. To an extent also from your work life is a bit of your photography, because if I'm not mistaken, you've done a bit of freelancing for that as well. My favorite one, he is currently the student marketer for Red Bull at Middlesex.
I am. Yes.
So even though that's just three items, right? Why don't you tell us a little bit about how diverse and extentful those projects are for you? Because they can become very...
You want me to like explain how like three different parts of my university life? And
not really, but so I think what I'm trying to ask is, how would you define your work life while trying to balance the academic life that you have to work
with? Well, I'll be very honest with you. In my second year, I kind of suffered, or like my academic life kind of suffered because of my work life and like extracurriculars, that's volunteering and everything at university. But end of the day, I like balanced it somehow. You know, if you have the will, you can do it. Like, trust me. I'm not just saying it for the sake of it because I know everyone says it. Mm-hmm. But if you do have the will, you can do it. Like, I mean, it did take a toll on me. Like, socially, I was like drained. I found myself drained. But then again, like I said, like photography, that alone time, like shooting pictures, I can say that's like therapy for me. So yeah.
So, in a way, there was a slight drawback to having ended up focusing a little bit more on the work/volunteering aspect compared to the academic.
Yeah, that's very much true. Like, I'm not the best student of all time. Like, since school, I'm like average, like 70%, 77%.
That's average? That's brother, average. I barely grade 60.
All my classmates were like 85 above.
Fair enough then.
Last three people were like 70, 75.
CBSE, right?
CBSE.
Okay, then that's the...
And then I did A-levels.
Okay, fair enough. All right, so that's one thing I want to also bring up, because this is a topic that always returns every time I do any one of these episodes. It's talking about balance, because with balance comes with mental health, and then mental health, anxious, anxiety, and that's something that everyone will always face at some point in university.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the time I'd say, to a degree, it's obviously trying to balance your work life, your social life, your family life, but then also comes other aspects of university. You've got friends, you might even have like a significant other, and all you have your professors going against you, and all that stuff can come onto your head as a student.
Mm-hmm.
Most people, when they see things like movies or TV shows, they see that stuff, they think, oh, it's very minor, they can deal with it. And then when you come to university, you find it that it's a completely different ballgame. So in your opinion,
mm-hmm.
what do you think is the main value or the main thing that students need to remember just to not prevent it, because in some degrees it's almost inevitable, but kind of control that level of mental stress that they might face?
Well, one suggestion I have is, I wouldn't call it advice because I'm not wise enough, but one suggestion I have, at the end of the day, is your life. You take care of it, you decide what you want to do, and you do what you feel is best for you. But also, you're a student, you're not that mature. So also listen to your parents, to your teachers, to your friends. I'm not saying let them be the decision makers, you be the decision makers, but just consider what they are telling you and just take their advice and consider it. But yeah, at the end of the day, it's your life. So you are the one in control of it.
All right. So just before we end, I want to talk about one final topic. Mm-hmm. Now,
Is it Formula One?
Oh, I wonder how you figured that out. So another thing Rakshit is a trait of his that helped him with his life, or not really helped you, his life, which has been a part of your life for a bit, is definitely his obsession with Formula One. And when I say obsession, it's not like, you know, you just watch every race every week. No, this man is like, for example, he would be the type of person that would take into intricate details how football is rigged to the brink of no return sometimes.
I said cricket is rigged. I feel like cricket is rigged, no matter what. I don't know. Like, I think it's, I don't know. I don't want to.
You think cricket is rigged?
I think sometimes.
I know. I don't disagree with you on that. All right. So I want to talk to you a bit about F1. So F1 now, like, in my opinion, it is definitely one of the world's biggest sports at this point, if not biggest sporting events of the year, every year, every week, different Grand Prix, different city, different country. Mm-hmm. So I want to ask you, how has that, being a part of such a growing culture, helped you with your university life?
Well, I'll come to that, but just something, Formula One is gaining a lot of attention recently. Like, I've been watching it for like past 5 years, and it didn't have that kind of attention like back then.
No.
But since Netflix released this documentary series called Drive to Survive, it's basically they cover the inner sides of every mm-hmm. season, and they show you behind the scenes of how teams work, budgeting, how drivers are stressed out, if they'll get a seat next year or no, everything. So I think once Netflix released that, it gained a lot more attention, and a lot more people are watching Formula One nowadays, which is mm-hmm. really good. It's getting, I think at some point of time, it will gain as much attention as football. It will take a lot of time because obviously football is...
No, but it is definitely one of the world's biggest growing sports.
It is. It's one of the most expensive sports in the world, for sure.
I wonder why. Fuel costs. And to add to everything else with car build and
exactly.
the engines, of course.
Transportation, moving cars to mm-hmm. different countries every week.
I'd assume so.
So, yeah. Other than that, I'd say why Formula One played a big role in my personal life was because I met my best friend Mihir through Formula One. I was literally wearing a Red Bull jersey. I wasn't working for Red Bull at the time. I was just a fan.
You're just a fan of Red Bull?
Yeah.
That F1 squad?
Yeah, I was. And okay. then I also used to drink a lot of Red Bull. So it was like a dream job for me. But yeah, so I was wearing a F1 jersey, and this guy stops me and he said, are you into Formula One? And I'm like, yeah, I am. And rest is history. We became best friends. I got into a men's club, and then we got even closer because he was already in the men's club, and then, mm-hmm. so yeah. I am traveling with him to Kazakhstan next week, so yeah. That's why Formula One played a big role in my life, because I met my best friends through Formula
One. Of course.
So yeah, I also went to the paddock last year.
Oh,
I met
okay.
a lot of drivers, by the way. I met Max Verstappen, Yuki Tsunoda, Charles Leclerc, and Kevin Magnussen. A lot more. I can't think of them right now, but yeah.
It was kind of like your dream. One of the biggest.
I was in the garage.
That was like your cloud nine moment, wasn't it?
And they were doing the pit stop practice. So
nice.
Loud, but it was like,
this is which for Abu Dhabi, yeah.
Yeah, and it was music to my ears. So
just hearing that engine rev
engine
up.
Rev and then the gun right. sound, like not the gun sounds like the gun they used to remove the tire.
Yeah.
So.
One thing I want to talk to you about is, now I'm not that big of an F1 fan, for example, and I'm pretty sure you know that there's a lot of people that still don't understand the hype around F1. So in your opinion, how would you describe F1 as a sport? Is it something a bit more, you know, of a build-up sport, or is it something that always is, there's something going on every second?
Well, it's definitely not a build-up sport. It's been there for like I think 50 years now.
No, not like build-up sport like that. Like, you know how when you watch a boxing fight, right? It's like sometimes you don't get knocked out in the first round, and it builds up to the culmination, the final round. That type of situation I'm talking about.
Well, yes, until like 2 years back, Mercedes was like dominating on the track.
That's the only guy I knew 2 years ago, Hamilton, right?
Yeah. So he is, obviously I have a lot of respect for him, but I'm a Red Bull supporter, so.
Verstappen all the way.
Yeah, Verstappen all the way. He's a 7-time world champion, Hamilton on Verstappen.
Okay.
And so yeah, Mercedes was dominating. I'd say 2021 season was it? Yeah, 2021 season was one of the most exciting seasons because Red Bull and Mercedes was going head to head. Hamilton was competing for his 8th championship and Verstappen was competing for his 1st championship. So you can imagine, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And if Hamilton had gotten that championship, he would have the most number of championships in the Formula One history, more than Schumacher.
For an individual racer?
Yeah, for more than Schumacher.
Oh, you know, okay. Schumacher. Yeah, of course.
So, yeah, he's a legend. And so
rest in peace.
Yeah, so it was very... No,
I know. Chill. I know he's still alive. I'm just saying because he had that very like horrific accident a few years ago.
So yeah, he is resting, but not in peace.
Yeah.
So yeah, so they were going head to head, and then at the last race, it came down to the last race. It just, that's, by the way, very rare when it comes down to the last race of the year. So yeah, Verstappen and Hamilton. Yeah, it was very intense. I didn't get to go to that race, but I watched it online. On my TV. But yeah, it's definitely a very competitive sport. Mm-hmm. If that was your question.
Okay.
Yeah.
So.
The hype is real.
Huh? The hype is real.
Yeah.
I guess you just gotta just watch a few races, then you'll get into it.
And if you still don't understand, just watch Drive to Survive on Netflix.
Actually, that would probably be the best way to figure it out.
Understand Formula One. Yeah.
Fair enough. So, I think one final question I have in connection to Formula One is obviously. You are a fan of the Red Bull squad.
Mm-hmm.
So, in my opinion, I feel like anyone...
I don't have a choice at this point. I work for them.
All right, let's go on the pre-assumption you don't. Let's just say that, okay, you are a fan of the Red Bull team.
Mm-hmm.
And let's just say like this. So, in my personal belief, like, I watch a bunch of league sports as well. So most like something like football or basketball or cricket. And I feel like everyone that has a love for a single team, it stems from something in their life.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for example, for me... If I take, like, football, for example, Manchester United, sorry for everyone. We know we lost FA Cup.
I feel bad for you.
Yeah, that was not a good moment in life. One of the main reasons I support Manchester United is because the very first football jersey I've ever gotten was a Manchester United t-shirt.
Mm-hmm.
And then that was kind of like my introduction to football. Oh,
by the way, that's how I also got into Formula 1.
That's what I was going to ask you. Like, what was your introduction to
literally
the Red Bull team?
Same. So my dad traveled to Austria and he got back with these two t-shirts. So he went to the Red Bull headquarters in Austria just to
like,
the Red Bull hangar.
Yeah, yeah.
They have the Red Bull Museum, basically, where they have the planes and everything.
Ah, okay.
So from there, he got me and my brother a Formula 1 jersey. It was the Red Bull jersey. And then I was like, oh, this looks great. Why are there so many brands on this team? You know? So then I got to know all brand sponsorships and everything, and then what Red Bull F1 team is. And then I started watching Drive to Survive. That's the series on Netflix. And then, yeah, that's how I got into Formula 1.
And that just like that just cemented your love for
love
the squad.
For Formula 1, yeah.
Love for Formula 1. All right. All right, so I guess, if I'm not mistaken, looking at the time... Yeah, we are just about done with our time for this episode, unfortunately. But one final question I have for you is, if you were able to choose any of the other drivers in the entire F1 circuit
mm-hmm.
to rep the Red Bull colors, who would you pick and who would you replace from the Red Bull circuit, from the Red Bull team, sorry?
That's a tough question because even like Checo and Max Verstappen are both doing really good for the team. Maybe, okay, I'll be honest, when Albon used to race for Red Bull, I used to support him a lot. So I would want, I think he wasn't mature enough at that point of time to race for Red Bull. So yeah, he didn't get a seat back. Checo took a seat, but I feel like if he does get another chance to come back, he would do really great.
So Checo out and...
Albon back in, I think. I would definitely keep Verstappen because like...
Okay, fair enough. Yeah, I'm not going to deny that.
Two-time world champion, about to win his third championship maybe this year, hopefully. Maybe Albon, if not him, maybe I would like to see Leclerc drive for Red Bull because he's a really good driver. It's just that Ferrari, I don't know what's wrong with
him. I'm not disagreeing. Listen, I know I recently started watching F1, but I am a Ferrari fan because that's like one of my major favorite cars. I can't deny. I don't know what they're doing right now.
I feel like if Leclerc was given a car like Red Bull and a team like Red Bull, he would do really good. Like, really, really good.
All right. Now let's see how many people listening would want to butcher the living heck out of you. Anyways, thank you so much for coming on. I hope you enjoyed your time. You guys can all obviously check out Rakshit on Instagram. We're going to tag him. And you can also check out his photography account as well. But yeah, thanks for listening to today's episode of the Students Era Podcast. Thank you and have a great day ahead.
Bye-bye.